Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. On Monday in Salt Lake City, President Trump announced the largest rollback of federal land protections in America's history. He targeted two enormous national monuments in Utah, Bear's Ears, shrunk by 85%, 1.1 million acres. The Grand Staircase Escalante, cut in half by almost a million more. Ranchers and resource companies, oil and gas, are rejoicing. Native tribes and environmental groups are suing. The rollbacks won't stop there. More national monuments are in the administration's sights. This hour on Point, the Trump rollback of federally protected lands. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Are you paying attention to what's going on here and how far it may go? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here was the president Monday in Utah.
I will sign two presidential proclamations. These actions will modify the national monuments designations of both Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante.
Both really shrunk. Who should control this? The president spoke right to that.
Some people think that the natural resources of Utah should be controlled by a small handful of very distant bureaucrats located in Washington. And guess what? They're wrong.
We've got people, some in Utah, celebrating, others in Utah and well beyond, not happy at all. Here was the billionaire CEO of Patagonia, the outdoor equipment company, saying, this is an ad directed at Ryan Zinke, Secretary of the Interior, came out earlier this year, but it gives you the sense of the kind of pushback that we're seeing right now, also on the national monuments changes.
Public lands have never been more threatened than right now, because you have a few self-serving politicians that want to sell them off and make money. Behind the politicians are the energy companies and the big corporations that want to use up those natural resources. It's just greed. This belongs to us. This belongs to all of the people in America. It's our heritage.
It's certainly big this week. Joining me now from Utah, Salt Lake City, is Brian Maffley, public lands and environment reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. He's been all over this story. You can link to his story headlined, What's In, What's Out of Utah's New Monuments, at our website, onpointradio.org. Brian Maffley, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being here.
Well, thank you, Tom, for having me.
What's most important for the rest of the country to understand as they tune in this week on these national monuments and their rather drastic reduction in size by President Trump?
Yeah, well, I think an important takeaway here is that public land in the western states is a big deal. And out west, half of the land is owned by the federal government. And in Utah, it's probably two-thirds. And it's been a deep sore point for generations here. And in the last few years, these national monument designations have been the dividing issue here for the people of Utah. The people in the state are deeply divided over both those national monuments that were affected by Trump's action on Monday.
Grand Staircase Escalante was a Clinton designation back in the 90s. Bear's Ears was just last year by President Obama, 2016.
Yeah.
And a big one, 1.1 million acres. Within Utah, what's the divide between what perspectives or interests, Brian?
Yeah. Well, those two monuments have much different situations. The Bear's Ears was actually 1.35 million acres.
Excuse me.
In San Juan County. And it was came at the request of five Native American tribes that have ancestral cultural ties to that area. The Bear's Ears are a pair of buttes that kind of stand over this large landscape. And all these tribes referred to that area as Bear's Ears in their native languages. And so that was kind of a unifying principle. And the idea was that this land is sacred. It needs to be preserved and protected from extractive industries and motorized use and even looting. There's tens of thousands of archaeological sites that Could be vulnerable to looting in the past. There's a history of looting in that area.
And this goes back to Teddy Roosevelt, 1906, when that was his original point with the Antiquities Act, was to protect largely Native American archaeological sites.
You're absolutely right. And that law in 1906 was passed for the purpose of protecting these antiquities, artifacts on public land. But on the other side of the coin, there are local folks in the, like towns like Blanding and Monticello that feel that these lands should be available for multiple use and that local people should have a great deal more control of what happens there. But when you have a national monument, as President Trump said, you're kind of imposing lots of rules, and people in Washington, D.C. get to call the shots. And that's deeply troubling to local officials.
What was possible in terms of use or access to the monument-designated parts of these lands? And what will be possible now that designation is being stripped away from a lot of it?
Well, I think in the grand scheme of things, not a whole lot's changed, because when Obama designated the Bears Ears, the management of that area or the change in management was kind of put on hold. So it was being managed the way it has been. Much of that area was already protected under different types of land designations called wilderness study area.
Is there grazing there, Brian?
Yeah, the whole area is open to grazing and would remain open to grazing. What the big change was, all of the minerals in that 1.3 million acres would be taken out of circulation. They would not be made available for future leasing. However, existing leases would be honored. There's some uranium claims there. There are some oil and gas leases on the eastern periphery of the former monument. But in the core of the monument, there's not a great deal of oil and gas potential. And no active federal leases.
What about Grandes Staircase Escalante? We're going to see oil and gas drilling there, or coal mining now?
Yeah, then that's just it. That place has a treasure trove of hydrocarbons, and under the Kaparowitz Plateau, that's the center portion of the Grand Staircase Escalante, is Utah's largest coal reserve. It's probably 2/3 of the coal in the state. It's high quality, packs a lot of energy, and it was under lease at the time of Bill Clinton's designation for coal development. And everybody kind of agrees that that monument was designated in part to keep that coal mine from being developed. And so when you see how the borders of that monument have been changed, especially around the Kaparowitz Plateau, it really seems like those cutouts were done to make the coal and oil and gas available. When you look at where the old leases are with where the new monument boundaries are, there's some interesting overlap there.
And look beyond these two. And these are enormous changes at these two monuments. But look beyond. Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, has got a whole list of national monuments and maybe more. I don't know if it's fair to say on the chopping block or the cutback block or the open up block. How would you describe it, Brian? Yeah. What's planned?
Well, he released his final report. It's been under wraps for a while that he prepared for the president. And in that report, he identifies 10 monuments, four of which recommended needed to be reduced in size. So two of them have been taken care of. The other two are Gold Butte in Nevada, about 300,000 acres. That was designated the same day as the Bears Ears. It also has an association with the Bundy family, and he recommended that for reduction, and the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument on the Oregon-California border. Now, there's another six, I believe, that he is recommending changes to open up for commercial fishing, for loosen the rules over road access and grazing and things like that. So changing the proclamations that designate those monuments to make them more available to multiple use.
So Clive Bundy, of course, made his stand. Was that at one of these, you're saying, and that would be opened under the Zinke plan?
Well, it would be
more reduced, available?
And that's called Gold Butte. It's not far from Utah in southern Nevada.
Overall, is this about mainly about grazing? Is it mainly about fossil fuel extraction?
Oh,
what's the main motive, or is it mainly just to say no to Washington, no to federal control.
Well, it's definitely to say no to federal control. The energy issue is kind of interesting because you see the administration is going out of its way to say, no, this isn't about opening these areas for oil and gas. These areas do need to be protected. However, there are energy resources in the Grand Staircase, and all these monuments, grazing is to be allowed under the existing laws at the time the monuments were designated. However, ranchers have always been upset by these monuments. They've never liked
why them. They could still graze. Why were they upset?
I think because they invite people to come on to their, you know, a national monument's an invitation to come and enjoy these beautiful areas to the public, and so the management changes. For instead of being primarily for public land livestock, it is now there's a larger recreation component. Mm-hmm. The rules get enforced a little bit more strictly. It's just life gets harder for them somehow, and they just don't like it.
What about the suits?
I talked to many ranchers about this.
You've got Native Americans and environmental groups who are suing here. It's a big deal how this gets decided. It's all about the Antiquities Act and what power it gives the president to name or unname lands as monuments.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. There's a whole slew of suits that have so far been filed. There's probably more on the way. And they all have the same overarching theme that under the Antiquities Act, the president does not have authority to undo monuments. That has never been tested in the courts, and so these will be cases of first impression and will ultimately probably be decided in the Supreme Court. And the first lawsuit out the gate targeted the Bears Ears was the Five Tribes suit, and a separate suit. A dozen environmental groups sued. All these cases were filed in the D.C. court, not out here in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And they will probably be seeking some sort of injunctive relief to keep the president's order from being implemented while the cases are being litigated.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Protesters there in Utah this week, and the days leading up to, I should say, President Trump's visit, chanting outside the Utah State Capitol on Monday, "Keep public lands." The president looking in a different direction, looking for more access and for more resource extraction from national monuments that he has shaved back, more than shaved back, cut back very dramatically this week in Utah. There are more on his list of targets, and we're looking at that today. Bears Ears and the Grand Staircase Escalante just cut way back. We're looking at what is next. You can join us this hour. What's the big picture here? Is the Trump administration going to throw open the gates all over the place? And what should the guiding philosophy be on public lands? Native Americans paying close attention here. An estimated 100,000 archaeological sites in Bears Ears. Here was Mary Benelli, descendant of the Navajo and Hopi tribes, talking to CBS News on Monday about Bears Ears.
This place is so sacred to the Native Americans. People need to be here to see it and feel the healing. I look around and say, wow, little old us, we did this. Somebody actually listened to us in Washington.
Well, they did. Now it's a little different. The president says there has been dramatic overreach here by Washington. The 1906 Antiquities Act, back in Teddy Roosevelt's time, he said, used to create national monuments that were just too big and sprawling.
These abuses of the Antiquities Act give enormous power to faraway bureaucrats at the expense of the people who actually live here, work here, and make this place their home.
Brian Maffley is with us from the Salt Lake Tribune in Salt Lake City. Let's go to another who lives and works there in Johnson Canyon, Utah. Mike Noel joins us. He's a Republican state representative in the Utah House of Representatives, represents the area where Bears Ears is located. He's a rancher there, former member of the Bureau of Land Management. Mike Noel, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom, for having me on.
And with us from Omaha, Nebraska, is Randy Spivak, Public Lands Program Director at the nonprofit Center for Biological Diversity. She was in Salt Lake City protesting the announcement this week and has stopped off in Omaha to talk to us. Randy Spivak, thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Mike, what does the president's announcement mean to you?
Well, it's absolutely what we wanted. I think one thing we should start with, and I think Brian outlined many of the issues. I'm surprised you didn't understand more about the grazing, but I can go into that. But there's a reason, Tom, why every single Republican elected official in the Utah House of Representatives, the Utah Senate, and one Democrat in the Senate, in a supermajority state, and every single elected official in state office and the entire delegation supported this action. We represent the people of our district. My district voted me in 8 times for the last 15 years. I've been strongly supported on all of these issues. It's because the story sometimes does not get out the way it should.
Well, we're asking you, what's the importance of the president's move this week to land use and conservation, the ratio? How do you see it, Mike?
That's what I want to explain to you.
Yes,
okay?
Please.
The importance is this, is that now we can go back to what the law actually says and how the land should be managed, that we don't have to shut down right now in the Grand Staircase. We've been in lawsuit for 21 years, 1,000 miles of roads that have been in existence for over 50 to 100 years. We would have to shut those roads down. We don't have to stop and spend 7 years to upgrade a power line, an existing power line that's sitting right alongside the highway, or a water line when people come to visit. We had 2.5 million visitors come here last year. We built 4 new hotels in town. We can't even get the power in because of the stringent regulations. So what's happened is this 1906 Act, 112 years ago, to protect the cliff dwellers and the cave dwellers' artifacts that were being looted, has turned around this whole issue of how we manage the public lands. We have to be able to manage these lands, Tom, and we can do it in a responsible way. Brian said that there's not going to be a wholesale selling off. There's not going to be a come in and rip and rape and destroy. It's not going to happen because since 1906, we've had literally a myriad of laws to protect these areas. The Archaeological Resource Protection Act, the Threatened Endangered Species Act, the Federal Land Policy Management Act, the Wilderness Study Act, all of these laws remain in place. On the adjacent lands that aren't under monument designation, go look at those lands. They're in tremendous condition. The grazing issue, that's
yes,
one
please.
Issue of
yep.
many, many issues.
Yeah.
That's one issue.
Do you get more grazing, Mike? Make it clear to us. Is it more, or it's easier to drive in and do your work with the cattle, or what?
Here's the issue with the grazing. Okay.
Okay.
On lands that are under federal land management, under the Federal Land Policy Management Act, and under existing laws, we can actually go in and do treatments on the lands when they need them. We can actually go in and protect these lands in a better way than we have in the past. Under the monument plan on adjacent land, you can't do simple things like go in and clean out an existing reservoir with mechanical equipment. You can't go in and you can't treat lands and be able to go in and do vegetative manipulation on those lands. So most of it, we talk about energy and renewable energy. On adjacent lands, you could go put a wind tower or a cellular collector. You can't do any of that. We used to film movies in Kane County, 116 Western movies filmed in these areas. You can no longer film movies since the monument was created 21 years ago.
Mike, do you care about the Native American claims there? They might not want wind towers in there or, I don't know, movie directors driving around in Land Rovers.
Absolutely care about them. A big part of my constituency in San Juan County, the Utah Navajo, who also support this downsizing. The one person you also didn't get on your list is Rebecca Benally. She is the elected county official. She is a Navajo Indian. She's got a PhD. She's a school teacher and a principal of a high school down there. She 100% supports this downside. That's because the Native Americans run cattle. That's because the Native Americans live on those lands. That's because they don't want to see thousands and thousands of people coming into their area, in an area that now Patagonia and others, the billionaires, now think it belongs to them. I think there's a really good opportunity for all of us to step back a step and listen to what President Trump said. Management on the ground by the people in the state of Utah and by the local people, those should be protected. It says it right in the National Environmental Policy Act. To the greatest extent possible, you should defer to local land and state plans. That's what we've done.
Mike, stand by there for a minute. I want to get Randy in here, if I may, from Omaha. Randy, how do you see what's just happened and what is happening with national monuments? What about Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante?
There's no question that Trump's action is the largest rollback of federal land protections in the nation's history. We're talking about stripping protections from 2 million acres, just Bears Ears and Grand Staircase. These actions are incredibly unpopular. First, let's be clear. While these lands are located in Utah, these are America's public lands. They belong just as much to citizens of New Jersey, Illinois, and Alabama as they do to citizens of Utah. They're incredibly important for cultural, scientific, natural wonders, sacred sites, wildlife.
What's the impact of the change in designation, of taking away the monument designation?
Well, number one, the mineral withdrawal would go away. In other words, these lands would be open to oil, gas mining, toxic uranium mining, and coal strip mining. That's a huge difference.
That's pretty big. What about in terms of wildlife and the vegetation?
Well, extractive practices are harmful to wildlife. And when you've got unrestricted off-road vehicles, these are relatively dry lands. They create permanent scars. Creating new roads, making major roads throughout the monuments, that's all fragments habitat, which is incredibly destructive to wildlife.
So do you see – you're looking at biological diversity. Do you see some hit to that here? Mike Noel says, well, you can get in there. You can do land management. You can do vegetative manipulation. You can do treatments to the land, and they'll end up better.
Well, if from the perspective of more grazing on the land, which is incredibly destructive – yes, that's from his viewpoint. But if you're looking at it from the viewpoint of wildlife, no, it's very destructive. The land manipulation they're talking about, it's not restoration. It's exploitation of the land. It's harmful. The bottom line is those who graze there before the monuments can continue to graze there now. Grazing is not affected in that way.
Brian Maffley, how do you see this? Is there a kind of a unanimity or consensus among Utah people here? You know, it's the state versus the feds, or is it depending where you stand in terms of how you look at conservation, environmentalism, resource extraction within the state? I mean, I've seen people in Utah who talking in such a way that they don't look so enthusiastic about this as well, though I'm sure many have been for this cutback. What's the balance of opinion there, Brian?
Well, I think the state is divided. It's more of a rural-urban divide, perhaps. Folks in Salt Lake City are supportive, tend to be supportive of both monuments. Clearly, the Republican leadership of the state are would like to see the monuments go away, while Democrat politicians want them to stay. So. My years of talking to folks about this, you get, 180 degree opposite versions of reality. But there's one thing I think everybody agrees on, is that these landscapes are amazingly beautiful. They're unique and they are publicly owned and they ought to stay in public hands. However, there is a movement in Utah to transfer these public lands to the state. And the monument discussion has gotten incredibly tied up with that larger theme. And to be clear, these lands that are being removed from the monument do not go into state control.
Mm-hmm.
They remain under federal control, under the land management prescriptions that existed prior to monument designation. They don't go to the state. And there's been a lot of rhetoric out there that the land is being stolen from the public. That's really, I think, overstating what occurred on Monday. It is just being removed from monument status, and the courts may wind up reversing that. We don't know yet. But in terms of some of the things Mike brought up, Mike Noel. I think a big issue for local folks in his counties, Garfield and Kane County, was the road issue. That under the management plan for the Grand Staircase, I think it was about 3/4 of the roads were to be closed, and that really inflamed local sentiment and really turned people against the monument in a big way. And when you look at the proclamation that President Trump signed on Monday, there's a whole paragraph in there about how the Interior Department now may, you know, reopen those roads and trails to motorized use under certain situations. And I think something like that would be, you know, music to Mike's ears. Maybe he could comment on that.
Mike Noel, speak to that if you would, for listeners around the country.
Let me clear one thing up.
Sure.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
There are no off-road vehicle uses in any of the public lands in the state of Utah. Those are only in designated areas. So when Randy says that, she's actually being dishonest and disingenuous. She knows that. Only existing roads, and they have to have been in place 10 years prior to 1976 or the passage of FLTMA. So don't let people tell you that.
What's the importance of holding these roads open to you, Mike?
Well, it's important to the public that wants to visit these areas. We've talked about this. Both these districts, are in my district, San Juan County, the Bears Ears, and this one. We're talking 5,000 square miles. If you want to come down and see these, you have to have access. And closing down 1,000 miles of roads, like what happened in the Grand Staircase, took away access. The other statement that she made about destroying the habitat for wildlife, we have the number one Ponsagant deer herd in the entire United States. When we go and do land treatments, it benefits the wildlife. It benefits the watershed. By the way, the water is owned by the people of Utah, so we do have a say. When people say these are all public lands, they belong to the people, absolutely. Why do you think they're in such great condition after 150 years of statehood? We take care of them. We invite people to come. We want people to come, but we want them to come and be able to see it. Not what some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. tells us we can see. We want to have some control over our access and the use of these public lands. We want to be able to supply people in this area with the necessary jobs they need to sustain their life. And when you bring people in, you have to have facilities in these gateway communities. This is what the bureaucrats don't understand. This is what the people like the Center for Biological Diversity that sues and gets big settlement behind closed doors and pads their lawyers' pockets. This is what they teach to the public and they put out to the public.
Well, I mean, Mike, we understand there's a national interest here that may not always be exactly the same as the local interest. There's maybe a real tension there. Randy, respond.
Well, thanks for pointing that out, and I think you hit the nail on the head. The tension here over national monuments has, I think, always been short-term local interest versus longer-term national interest. Let's look back at history. The Grand Canyon, Bryce, Zion, there were locals in Arizona and in Utah who did not want those lands to be protected under national monument status. Eventually, those are all turned into national parks, our beloved national parks, which bring a huge amount of money into Utah. And so we've seen this tension play out over time. And if it wasn't for the Antiquities Act in 1906, we wouldn't have a Grand Canyon, Bryce, Zion, Acadia. So we've seen this play out and play out. And I think long-term has shown that, you know, as a nation and for these public lands, let's look at the long-term interest. Let's look at preserving these largely untouched landscapes with Native American sacred sites and, you know, centuries of ruins and wildlife and biodiversity. It's incredibly important. So I think you hit the nail on the head. And if you look across Utah and how well they take care of their lands, I invite anyone to go to the Uinta Basin and you will see frack fields, toxic water, waste ponds, strip mining. That's what you'll see across a lot of Utah. Of course, not all of Utah. What we're talking about here with the national monuments are public lands that have extra special status because of the critical natural wonders, scientific wonders, history, and that is what we're talking about, giving this extra added level of protection. That was the purpose of the Antiquities Act. Going back again, the Antiquities Act, I read the whole congressional record. It took 20 years to pass that act. There was a lot of looting going on at the time. Individual bills to protect areas weren't passing, and Congress realized they needed to give the president the authority to designate when Congress wouldn't or couldn't do that. And I think the rest of the story is history. We've got magnificent landscapes as national monuments, some upgraded as parks, that are now protected forever for our grandkids.
Randy Spivak, we've got it. Protected forever, I don't know. The president using that same authority this week to roll back the amount that's protected at Bears Ears in Grants Staircase Escalante. Randy Spivak at the Center for Biological Diversity, they've got a shoot going on that. Thank you for joining us today, Randy.
Thank you, Tom.
Mike Noel, Republican State Rep in the Utah House of Representatives, represents the Bears Ears area. Thank you very much, Mike, for being with us.
Okay.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Trump rollback of federally protected lands, why it's happening, what it means, how far it may go. Bears Ears and the Grand Staircase Escalante in Utah both just cut way back, and there is a bigger list here. You can join the conversation this hour. Where does all this go? Are we giving up on conservation, getting more balanced, getting it right, getting it wrong? Brian Maffley is with us, terrific reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune out of Salt Lake City. The national head of the Sierra Club joins us in just a moment. Here's a little bit from Jonah Yellowman. This is a Navajo elder, spiritual advisor. He talked with the CBC earlier this year about why Bears Ears is important to the Native American community.
It's something that we're trying to preserve. You know, it's spiritual. It's our ancestors. They're still here.
They're still here. But you've got people saying, take these restraints off. Bruce Adams, county commissioner in San Juan, where Bears Ears is located, talking here with Jamie Yukis of CBS News earlier this week as the president was in Utah. Adams, the local commissioner, cheering the president's decision to shrink the national monuments.
We think that the federal government has enough control of the land. They've lost cattle grazing, mineral exploration on the public land. They've lost jobs.
What about the Native Americans who say this is their land and it's sacred ground?
I applaud the fact that they want that protection. I just simply think that that protection exists.
They're not so sure. There are lawsuits coming. Patagonia's founder and CEO, Yvonne Chouinard, has been very outspoken about all of this. He told CNN earlier he plans to sue the Trump administration over the shrinking national monuments.
I think the only thing this administration understands is lawsuits. We're losing this planet. And we have an evil government. You know, not just the federal government, but the wacko politicians out of Utah and places. I mean, it's evil. And I'm not going to stand back and just let evil win.
We're going to speak in just a moment with the head of the Sierra Club, Michael Brune. A couple of callers first, if I may. Brian Anthony in Kinsman, Ohio. Anthony, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what do you know?
All I know is I drove through Utah earlier this spring.
Mm-hmm.
With a friend of mine, we made it a point to go to as many national monuments and national parks as we could.
Lucky you.
Along that trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to places like in Utah, like Bryce Canyon and Zion. And we drove through the Grand Staircase. And it was probably one of the best drives I've ever experienced. And I just want to share that with you. It was.
What did it feel like? What did it look like in Grand Staircase Escalante, Anthony?
It was. It's hard to describe. It was like being on a different planet. If you've ever been to Utah, the national parks, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You get into this canyon land, and it's like walking on Mars or something.
Yeah.
But.
Pretty magical.
Yeah.
Anthony,
it was just a really beautiful drive.
The beauty, you're lucky enough to have been. I have not been in Grand Staircase, but it sounds fantastic. And yes, Utah is full of wonders. Thank you for your call. Jamestown, New York, Ron is calling. Hi, Ron, you're on the air.
You had a previous guest on the air, Tom,
mm-hmm.
thanks for having me,
mm-hmm.
Who said that there was environmental protection laws, but who's going to enforce those laws when the EPA has been gutted and the person that's running the EPA has made a career on the destruction of the EPA?
Yeah.
One thing I keep hearing from Republicans is how important it is to accumulate this invented resource, which is money, and their main way of wanting to do it is by destroying natural resources that can't be replaced. They can't be undone. Once whatever is done is done, whoever gets the money, but the resources are damaged for good. What would that do to the water table if they went in there and they started mining? How many areas have to be destroyed just so we can keep accumulating something that we invented?
Ron, you're looking at the real basics of it. Brian Matthew, do these arguments get repeated around Utah tables in the same way?
Yeah, no doubt. Your second caller made a really great point about enforcement of these existing laws and land designations that will supposedly protect these lands at Bears Ears and Grand Staircase. There is a concern that this administration will not enforce the Archaeological Protection Act or wilderness study areas with any great zeal. And so, you know, these land designations are only as good as the federal government wants to, move forward and protect them. So there is this idea that those are protections on paper only. National monument status is a unifying principle imposed on a large landscape that puts resources and teeth into those protections. So I thought your caller made an excellent point there. And regarding the energy potential
yes.
issue, there is, I think, going to be a great deal of interest in leasing the lands that are on the Kaparowitz Plateau if the prices of coal and oil and gas rebound. In the current depressed market, I think it unlikely because those areas are extremely remote. There's not a whole lot of roads and pipelines serving those areas.
But would there be a green light without the monument designation?
Maybe, but there would you would still have to have the National Environmental Policy Act reviews that would have to be done, and these activities would have to be done in such a way that to make them stand up in court, be done in a way that don't destroy the other values of those areas. But I think I just feel like there is this idea that this whole thing was done to hand the lands over to the oil and gas industry. I think that's overstating the threat somewhat.
We'll see where it goes. Stand by, Brian. Michael Bruhn joins us right now from Oakland, California. He's executive director of the Sierra Club. The Sierra Club also involved in federal lawsuits in Washington against the Trump administration for abuse of presidential power over the national monuments. Michael Bruhn with the Sierra Club, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on. Great show.
Start with these two national monuments, Bears Ears and Grand Staircase, and look out from there, Brian. What do you see unfolding?
Well, we're going to, as you just said, we're fighting it in court. We're also going to be fighting it in the marketplace. If there is any attempt to strip mine for coal or drill for oil and gas, we are going to resist that with everything we've got. As you heard on the show from your callers, this is one of the most magical, beautiful places in the country. We're lucky to have public lands like these, and we should keep them protected. And the Native American tribes in the region have come together to call for their protection. It was a historic moment when Bears Ears was created just a year or so ago. And we should be moving forward and celebrating the fact that these places are protected, not undermining them and putting them at risk for degradation.
Pull back the curtain. Beyond these two monuments, there are more on the list that Ryan Zinke has given the president. And beyond monuments, there's more lands being opened up. Drilling in Alaska, part of the tax bill that's going through right now to get the vote up there. What do you see happening on a larger scale? Take us on a tour, Michael.
Well, brace yourself because it's pretty grim. This is the most anti-environmental president we've ever had in just one short year, less than a year in office. As you said, the Arctic Refuge is proposed to be opened up for drilling. That's in the current tax bill. I've taken a trip there. It's one of the most beautiful places, ecologically important places on the planet. Just recently, the Secretary of the Interior proposed to open up drilling in Chaco Canyon in New Mexico. And beyond that, there have been several dozen attempts to undermine the protections for water, for land, for climate, and public health in just the last couple months. We're seeing a very aggressive, very concerted, full-scale assault on the bedrock pieces of environmental legislation and safeguards that have been successful, that have been effective at protecting our public health and making our air and water cleaner and giving us a shot at climate change. And almost every piece of that is under threat. It's being undone, and that's why we have to work so hard to stop this administration from what it's trying to do.
Ryan Zinke looks like a guy of the land. He's out there on horseback with his cowboy hat.
Look, I don't
want to call Interior.
Names. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, he is a skillful manipulator of his public image, and he is a fraud. What he has done in just a very short time in office is the opposite of what Teddy Roosevelt would have done, which he likes to compare himself to. He has, in a very short period of time, as you see, undone the protections for 2 million acres in Utah, talked about undoing protections in New Mexico and Oregon and California, up in Alaska. He has begun to roll back regulations that would protect our health from pollution from methane, from oil and gas drilling across the country. This is not a conservationist. This is not someone who's looking to protect public health. This is someone who is paying off the oil and gas industry for their investments in the Republican Party.
Michael Bruin with the Sierra Club, stand by. Brian Maffley with the Salt Lake Tribune. Janie is calling from Austin, Texas. Janie, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to say that I actually drove to New Mexico, but I'd never been to the West before, and I went to a bunch of different national monuments, one of them Rio Grande del Norte, who Ryan Zinke supposedly wants to change the monument status as well, and I agree with the other caller that it was just like being on another planet and beautiful. It should be protected, and I heard on NPR that Native American, it's sacred land to the Native Americans, mm-hmm. and then I heard Trump call it, Obama making it a national monument, he called it a land grab, which is a joke because we know who did the land grab back in you know, American history. It was
yes.
It was the land of Native Americans.
And now, hard to call who made the first grab here. That's a very good point, Ginny, and I appreciate your call. Let me get one more from New Haven, Connecticut. Shannon, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have also driven through the Escalante region and all over the Colorado Plateau, and not just to appreciate the beauty of these lands and the ecosystem functions that benefit not just local Utah constituents, but the whole country. But I've also driven through and seen copper mines and coal power plants and the other scars that natural resource extraction leaves. And it is a fallacy when Trump says that it's being controlled decisions by these few elite environmentalists. These lands belong to us, not to those people. It belongs to all of the people in the United States. And it's just enraging to hear the argument reduced because the collective responsibility not to just keep this land healthy and protected, but to be responsible for the scars and the waste and the poisoning. This is a national responsibility, and that's why Indigenous people and Native Americans need to be joined by everybody in leaping and screaming to protect these lands and to share the responsibility.
Shannon, we've got it, and I very much appreciate your call. We're looking at federal lands. Brian Maffley, are the courts the last line for these now? Is there anything to stop Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, and President Trump from just marching on through national monuments over the next 3 years or who knows how many?
That's an interesting question, Tom, because with this unprecedented action, in a sense, we've now opened up every national monument designated under the Antiquities Act that wasn't later, you know, given a congressional stamp of approval. Virtually every one of those monuments is now at risk of being undone or shrunk by a future president. And the courts will play a very important role here to determine whether that can be allowed to happen.
What's the legal question when you look into the act? I mean, this is back in Teddy Roosevelt time.
Yeah. Well, the Constitution of the United States gives Congress the sole power of regulating how public land is used. So what the Antiquities Act did, it recognizing an emergency situation on the public lands where valuable resources were being squandered and stolen, they passed this law that gave the president a very limited power to protect lands using the, quote, smallest area possible to protect those resources that were under threat. And what's happened over the years, though, is the presidents have gotten, you know, more and more aggressive in how they designate these monuments. Mm-hmm. And Clinton and Obama really have done a lot to protect land under that act. So what's at stake here is the question that needs to be solved. Oh, does the Antiquities Act also give presidents the power to undo monuments or shrink monuments?
Yep.
And before the passage of FLTMA, the Federal Lands Management Policy Act, in 1976, there were about a dozen times where presidents tinkered with boundaries of national monuments done by their predecessors, the biggest of which was probably, Glacier Bay in the 50s. Mm-hmm. In Alaska. Eisenhower wanted to free up some land for an air base or something. So there was a strong national security implication there. Of course, that monument later became a national park.
We got half a minute. What are the odds here on the courts? Are people? Is it a strong case to stop the president, or strong likelihood to go ahead?
Many legal scholars have weighed in, saying that the chances of this action being overturned are pretty great.
Michael Brune, you're in on the legal action. Do you have hope, confidence, that this may yet be stopped in the courts?
I sure do. Yeah, we have a very strong case. We filed with many different environmental organizations and Native American tribes. We have a very strong case. We're confident that we can win. But to address your other question, there's a lot that people can do. Your callers who have talked about the beauty of these places and people who have talked about the undermining of protections for our national monuments, there's a lot that we can do. This is not just an issue to be decided in the courts. There is a court battle, and that's important. But what's also important is every time that there is a lease offered for sale for coal mining or oil and gas drilling, we, members of the public, the people who own these public lands, need to raise our voices. We need to say no. We don't want fossil fuel extraction in some of the most beautiful and culturally important places in this country. And we need to elect people who stand up for our values and who know that we have a great bipartisan legacy in this country of protecting the places that are most important to our country.
Michael Brune, we're out of time today, but we appreciate your being with us so much. Executive Director of the Sierra Club. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thanks, Tom.
And Brian Maffley, Salt Lake Tribune. Thank you so much for being with us.
You bet. Thank you, Tom.
There's the story. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.